If it is true that I am behind this pulpit this morning by divine appointment, and if it be true that you are sitting in that pew this morning by divine appointment, then God has put you there and me here that you may hear what I say. That's the purpose of it. That's why you are here. This is not mass where you hear a fellow stand up and garble a while. This is church where God's man speaks from the Word of God to edify, strengthen, and to teach and to preach. What an amazing verse. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Follow me very, very carefully. There are two or three things taught in this verse, not just the previous verses, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But it goes on to say, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, or unto good works. God did not basically save you to keep you out of hell. Though when you got saved, that settled it. The salvation from the fires of hell is the bait that God put on the hook that He might get you to bite. So once you have bitten, He could make you a new creature and create in you a new creature which is created for good works, being His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now listen carefully. God is preparing you for good works, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So God today is preparing you for good works tomorrow. That's why you're saved. God had saved you to keep you out of hell, then better off it had saved you and killed you, that you go on to heaven. God had saved you just to get you to heaven, He should have saved you and killed you, take you on to heaven. But God did not save you just to get you out of hell or just to take you to heaven. God saved you in order to make you His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So God today is preparing you to do good works. You know, there's something in the Bible that's highly underrated, and that's good works. We've quoted such scriptures as, not by works of righteousness which we have done, and not of works lest any man should boast, until good works have almost become the term good works has almost become a bad term instead of a good term. Well, don't you forget this. God's interested in good works. And God created you in Christ Jesus for you to do good works. Ah, but there's something else here I love dearly. Not only is God preparing you for the good works, but God is preparing now good works for you to do. Hear me again. For you, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Okay, that takes care of that. But which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Not only did God foreordain you to do good works, but God hath before ordained good works that are being prepared for you to do. There's somebody right now that God has prepared to sit beside me on the airplane tomorrow morning as I fly to San Diego. And God's been preparing them for all these years. God has been preparing me for the flight. You know, one thing I like about life, I like to get up in the morning. No, I don't either. Let me change that a little bit. Once I'm up and awake, about 11 o'clock, I guess. But when I get up in the morning, I like to think like this. I wonder what appointments God has made for me today. I wonder who it is whose path God has planned that I cross today. I wonder who it is that needs help today that I can give them, and God has planned me just exactly for their need and has planned their need within my ability to fulfill. I wonder. I just wonder. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to get up in the morning and say, I wonder whose path I'm going to cross today. I wonder who it is that God has prepared for me. I'm going to San Diego tomorrow, God willing. And I remember not long ago, as I think about it, I boarded a plane to go to San Diego 7 years ago. And there was a little boy on there that was a terror. I mean, if ever I met a kid that I felt was the coming Antichrist, it was that boy. Nobody could sleep. Nobody could read. But somebody had given me, the kid had given me outside my door here a little car. Now, I take the notes under my door and I take them on an airplane, a Sunday note, and I read them on an airplane Monday morning. Well, it so happened that there was a manila envelope. It was something I didn't open it. Open on the airplane, it was a little car, about that tall and about that long. And I was opening my mail and the notes that had gotten on Sunday. And this little boy was screaming and crying, and his mother had tried everything. His dad had tried everything. And they had tried everything. Bribery, threats, anything. All of it. And, you know, if you be good, we'll buy you a Coke. And so forth. But anyway, I said, let me take care of the boy. Because we'd been on the thing 35, 40 minutes, and nobody could work or sleep. And about that time, I opened that envelope, and there was that little car. And I said, son, how would you like to play cards? He looked at me and he said, I like that. And I got in the aisle, on one end of the aisle of that airplane, and sat down. And that little kid got up at the other end and he sat down. And we played cards for an hour. I'd ooga, and he'd get it and he'd ooga back. We played cards for an hour. I mean, boy, we had a time. And hey, by the way, everybody could sleep. Others could work. I couldn't do either. I was playing cards. But that was Dr. Jack Hyams. Down on his, well, I was sitting down. And I was playing cards. Now, we got San Diego. And his mom and dad walked up and said, Mister, you saved the day for all of us. Said, we were embarrassed. We couldn't make him be quiet. And you saved the day for all of us. Is there anything we could do for you? And I said, as a matter of fact, there is. Well, what can we do? I said, listen to me for 10 minutes. Well, they said, look, good night. We got to listen to each other for 2 hours or more. At least we can do is listen to you for 10 minutes. They said, what have you got to say? Well, let's see what I got to say here. And I took out my little testament and I read them Romans 3:10 and 3:23 and 5:12 and 5:8 and 6:23 and 5:8 and 10, 9 through 13. And at the waiting room in the San Diego airport, I won that man to Christ. I won that woman to Christ. Boy, what a life to live. I mean, what an exciting time to get up in the morning and say, dear God, who have you planned for me? And boy, I didn't get the warning and say, well, I'd like to play cars today. That's what I like to do. I'd like to play cars. I didn't say that. I'll be going, the Lord willing, to Anchorage, Alaska in a few days to preach. And, One morning got up and said, I wonder what God, in fact, I always pray this prayer. Dear Lord, I yield myself to the Holy Spirit now, this morning, and I pray you'd help me to cross the path of those that Jesus would help if he were in my shoes. Got on the airplane to fly to Anchorage, Alaska. Sat down beside a lady who was embroidering. She was in her upper 80s. She was going to Anchorage to live, I think it's to live, or for a long visit anyway, with her daughter up there. And she lived in Ohio. And I talked to her, and I talked to her, and she taught me how to embroider. And we had a delightful time together. Or was I going to San Francisco? I've forgotten. But anyway, I was going to got talking to her. And it wasn't long till I told her about Jesus. And she was sweetly saved. Lady up in her 80s was happily saved. Now, wait a minute. Year later, I went back to Anchorage, Alaska. I'd forgotten about it. Well, I said, forgotten. I hadn't thought about it long, in a year and had not used it. I told it here one time, I think. And, so, walked out to preach and sitting on the front row was that lady I won to Christ a year ago. She had read in the newspaper I was going to be in Anchorage. You see, I don't know whose path I'll cross tomorrow. I'd rather it be an old lady than a boy that wants to play cards. But I'm saying, I don't know. But I know this. I know that God has before ordained good works for me in the future. And God has created me in Christ Jesus unto those good works. So God has prepared me for those good works, and God has prepared those good works for me. And if I can be in the will of God, I can cross the path tomorrow and all the tomorrows of the good works that God has prepared for me. Now, the truth is, you'll not be going to San Diego tomorrow, but you'll be seeing folks I cannot see. Some of you folks be riding the bus to work. You'll be riding the train to work. The postman comes by. Paper boy comes by. You got the fellow that takes your groceries out to the car. I mean, what a wonderful thing to get up in the morning and say, thank God today. God has prepared me for today. But that isn't all. God has for years been preparing good works to cross my path. People that need good works done. People who have needs and God. By the way, I think God often gives those people a void. God could supply every need of everybody if he wanted to. God could cause a raven to take sandwiches down to everybody that's hungry if he wanted to. Well, why doesn't God do that? God doesn't do it because God wants you and I to be messengers so you and I can be a part of his providing for people so we can be excited that we had a part. God's good. He could do it himself. He could cause angels to come and deliver groceries to everybody's doorstep every morning. He could cause the birds to fly and to bring sandwiches to everybody. If a day God could send cherubim and seraphim to earth and say, feed my people and care for my people, but God did not choose it because it's fun to help somebody and God wanted you and I to have the privilege of having a part in that help. As I sat in the college classroom, were you listening? Son, on the front row, I'm preaching to you too, and I want you to hear me now. If you're on the back row, I wouldn't call you, but folks are looking at you, and they're wondering about you, and folks in the choir are watching you, and I expect you to stay awake while I preach. You got to slap yourself, do it. If you don't, won't do it, come to me, I'll slap you. But there's nothing in the world worse than giving something. And I know this morning I've got something for you. I know that. Now listen to me. As I sat in the college classroom years ago, I thought of you. I did not know who you were. I did not know where you were. But I knew you were there. I thought of you. I did not know your name. I did not know how many of you there would be. But I knew this. God was preparing me for you. And somewhere out there, God was preparing you for me. You did not know what I would look like. You had no idea I'd be such a handsome brute as I used to be. You had no idea. You didn't know what size I was. I didn't know what size you were. I did not know who you were, where you were, how many of you were there. But this I knew. I knew somewhere out yonder, God was preparing a people for me. And God was preparing me for the people. Now look, this is the reason that every single young man who's preparing to serve God, every single young lady ought to prepare. And he's going to listen and sit up and study and work. You're being prepared for somebody that's going to need you. Boy, what a tragedy it'd be to meet them someday and not be prepared to help them. Young man sits in a class at Howells Anderson College. Somewhere out there, there's a group of people. They're being prepared for his good works. They need him. And God not only is giving him what they need, but God is giving them needs. And so God gives them needs that must be filled. And God is preparing you with the wherewithal to fill those needs. And one day, bless God, by divine appointment, your paths will cross. And they will present their need. And you will present the fulfillment of that need by divine appointment. A young girl sits in a class at Hammond Baptist Grade School. She's being prepared by God. Somewhere out there is a boy being prepared for her. He someday will grow up and have needs. She's being prepared to meet those needs. I bet some of you gals wish you could find out who it is. Now, I don't mean you Hammond Baptist Grade School girls. I mean you Howells Anderson Master's Degree girls. Some of you girls that just started getting your Social Security checks. But to me that's exciting. To think that here's a little child, little girl, 7 years old in the second or third grade, Hammond Baptist Grade School. Out yonder in Podocala, Montana, is a little scroungy kid sitting there trying to listen to the preacher this morning. And God is preparing that little girl out of Hammond Baptist Grade School for that little kid in Podocala, Montana. Listen. There are no uh-ohs with God. There are no accidents with God. If every jot and every tittle in this word is inspired by God, then God plans every action of our lives. Man, what a way to live. God has made appointments for me. And God says to me, I want to prepare you to meet those appointments because somebody will cross your path for whom that I have ordained today or tomorrow or the next day, and somebody's going to cross your path and they'll have a need. Then I must work to be sure I'm prepared to satisfy and fulfill that need when I find them. There are many appointments that God has made. A doctor sits in medical school. Unborn children being prepared by God to be cared for by that doctor. Somewhere are some people whom He will cure. There are many appointments that God has made for you. There's a place prepared for you to meet. There's a time that has been set. They will have a need that God gave to them, and you will have exactly what they need. And no one else has been prepared to meet their need but you. Man alive, think about that. God has planned your schedule. He has your appointments written down. He has offered to prepare you to be the need filler. And out yonder, He's preparing needs that must be met. There are people that have voids, and God prepares you to have what to fill that void. And He says, I'll make this void, I'll give you what it takes, and then I'll let you cross your path, and you can take what you have and fill that void. And God says, don't miss the appointments. Basically, that's what the will of God is. I was in Island Rota, Florida this week. Down in the Florida Keys, my annual trip. I go fishing 2 hours a year. This year I was going to go fishing 2 hours. Didn't get to do it. Pastor thought he was supposed to come meet me in my room, and I thought I was supposed to meet him over here on the front porch of a motel. I went to the front porch of the motel. He went to the front porch of my room. I sat there an hour and a half. He sat there an hour and a half. I gave up on him, went back to my room. There he sat. I got to fish 30 minutes. So when he got to catch 143 fish, averaged out about 65 pounds apiece in my fantasy. But I remember one morning in Island Rota. I got up one morning, and I said, as I always say, dear God, I yield myself, Holy Spirit, to you today. Help me to cross the path of the one Jesus had talked to. Got in the car. Drove down at one the only through street in Island Rota. In the Keys. Little strips of land sticking up in the ocean about a quarter mile wide, I guess. Looked up on the corner. Guess who was standing there? Ted Williams, my baseball hero as a kid, the best batter ever picked up a bat to swing a bat, in my opinion. Man alive, every morning when I'd get up, I'd check and see how many hits Ted Williams got. I walked up, shook his hand. I said, Ted, my name is Jack Hiles. He said, Jack Hiles, man, sure, you're my hero. He said, I used to read in the paper every Monday morning how many conversions you had. But anyway, I said, Ted Williams, man alive. And I was as excited as if Bullard would be if he got to meet Mike Jackson. Or was that Jesse? I forgot. One of the Jackson brothers. But now, wait a minute. I said, Ted Williams, I remember when you got mad at the umpire one day and decided to swing with one hand. So you just got mad, just took the one hand of the bat, jokingly swung at the ball, knocked it against the center field fence. He said, I've forgotten that. I said, I remember one day when you struck out, you got mad and threw your bat down and hit a lady over in the front row. And I said, the lady was so honored that your bat hit her in the head. She said, I won't sue if you'll sign the bat and give it to me. He said, man, I've forgotten that. I remember one day, Ted, you were batting 399.6. Doubleheader, last day of the game. If you didn't play, you'd be the first batter to bat 400 in years. But you batted and you got 6-for-10 that day. Ended up batting 406 for the year. He looked at me and he said, if I ever run for president, I want you to be my campaign manager. Exactly what he said. He said, you know more about me than I do. About 400 people gathered around. And I said, Ted, do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? He said, no, I don't. But my mama's a Salvation Army lady, and she's prayed for me for years. And I said, Ted, would you like to know you'd go to heaven? And that Hall of Fame baseball player said, I sure would. And I stood there while people watched, and I told him the most wonderful story ever told. And I saw tears in his eyes, and I heard him as he bowed his head and heard him pray the sinner's prayer and put his hand in mine and said, I'm trusting Christ as my Savior. And I said, Ted, if you died now, where would you go? And he said, I'd go to heaven. Man alive, I got up that morning and said, Lord, I yield myself to the Holy Spirit today and help me to cross somebody's path. Listen, the will of God is nothing but a series of divine appointments. You say, preacher, I've never been to Island Rota, Florida. I couldn't meet Ted Williams. Well, I didn't go down there to meet him. I thought he lived in Nova Scotia. But he owns a little house down in Island Rota because he likes to fish and goes down there to fish occasionally. Now, look. I could tell you stories of people, little boys and girls whose paths I crossed. I was as excited about playing the cars on the plane. It may be tomorrow God wants me to meet Stan Musial. I don't know. Or it may be some little crying bum on the airplane with whom I play cars. I don't know. But I know this. I know that God Almighty has prepared me for good work. I know that God has prepared people that need my good works. And I know if I stay in His will and follow His Holy Spirit, I know God will allow me to be at the very place, at the right, at the very time, that the person will be there who needs what He's prepared me to have to offer. Now, that means you ought to prepare for it. What a tragedy if you're at the right place, right time, right person meets you there. Person has the need. There it is. Divine appointment. But you're not prepared. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. If it's the right time. Right person. They have the need. God's made the divine appointment. But you're not there. You went somewhere to live because the climate was better. You went somewhere to live because you get more money. And a better job. And God Almighty, who never leads anybody to go anywhere to get more money, and God Almighty, who never leads anybody anywhere to make money, and God Almighty, who never leads anybody anywhere because it's a better climate, God Almighty had a place for you to be, and you weren't there. What a tragedy. This person that had the need prepared for you to fill is there. God has planned the need. God has before ordained that need be there. And there the person is, at the right place, at the right time, and you're not there. What a tragedy. If it's the right place, the right time. And here's why most of us. right place, right time, right person, divine appointment. God has foreordained that they would have a need that you could fill, but you don't even recognize it. You don't even recognize it. You don't know that little boy cried on an airplane for you. You don't even recognize it. Listen to me carefully. God knows how much money you have. And God's not going to have somebody cross your path. If you don't have any money in the bank and no money in your pocket, God's not going to have somebody cross your path with a need for $10,000 for you to supply. He's going to have Jim Wirtz ready for them because he's loaded. You can look at him and tell he's loaded. God knows how much the person needs and God knows how much you have. Not only that, God planned that person's needs and planned how much you would have. Somebody crosses my path to Fort Marr that has a need that I can fill. I presume then that God gave them that need and gave me that fulfillment of that need. My job to know it. This little story is not new to you, but I love it, and also it's only an illustration so I can get this point across. Now, here we go. This is an old story to you. But I need it in order to say what I'm going to say. One day, one of our deacons and I were out visiting, went out to the Columbia Apartments, walked up and knocked on the door. A little short lady, I guess about 5'5", another heavy set came to the door, dressed modestly. There was a linoleum floor on the little apartment. The little lady looked up and she said, "May I help you, sir?" And I looked into a poverty, condition of poverty. And I said, "Yes, my name is Jack Hiles." And I said, "This is Deacon so-and-so." And a big look of amazement came across her face and she said, "You Dr. Jack Hiles from First Baptist Church?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." "Oh," she said, "Dr. Hiles, I've seen your picture in the paper. I've heard you on the radio. I've heard so much about you. I'm so glad to get to meet you." Oh, boy, about once every 5 years, somebody reached me like that at the door. And she said, "Oh, Dr. Hiles, what an honor to have. Won't you come in?" And I walked in. There was a little boy there about that high. He must, I don't know how old, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. I don't know. Little short fellow. And she invited me in and she said, "Son, this is Dr. Jack Hiles. You know him. He's a pastor of First Baptist Church in Hammond." And then the lady said, Oh, Dr. Hiles, I'm sorry. I want to apologize for my house." She said, "I've driven by your house in Munster. I know what a nice home you have." She said, "I want to apologize." She had linoleum on the floor. She had an old chair over in the corner. The stuffings were about half out. You've seen them. You have one. Stuffings were about half out. And she said, "Dr. Hiles, forgive me." And I said, "Well, what is it to forgive?" She said, "Well, I can't help it. My husband left me. I've got a boy to rear. I take in washing and do housework the best I can, but," she said, we barely make it, and we just don't have money to spend on furniture and rugs and so forth." And I said, "Ma'am, I said, when I was a boy about this age, my daddy left me and my mama." She said, "He did?" She's happy my dad left. I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, I said, "Yes, ma'am." And I said, "All we ever had on the floor, if we were lucky, was linoleum. It wasn't this nice." She said, "It wasn't." She was glad we didn't have any carpet. And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, that chair over there, the stuffing just coming out of. She said, "Yes, sir." And I said, "We could never afford one that still had the stuffings in." I said, "We had the upholstering, but no stuffings." She said, "You did?" And I said, "Yes." And my mama took in ironing and washing. And my mama cleaned houses and was custodian at the church for $2 a week sometimes. and all the money left in the envelopes. I'll never forget that. All if any money was still in the envelope, we got it. Or somebody dropped their offering on the floor, we got it. And I wanted to put glue on the envelope. It couldn't come unstuck. But she said, "You did?" And she did. And I said, "Yes." She said, "Won't you have a seat?" And I did. And I won that litter to Christ. And I won her boy to Christ. Now, wait a minute, folks. You heard the story. It's not new to you. But listen, this is what I'm trying to say. As we walked out the house, that little boy said to his mother, said, "Mama, did you see Dr. Hiles? He sat where I sit. He sat in the same chair where I sit." I thought of that passage over in Ezekiel where it said, "He sat where they sat." But wait a minute. Did you know, I've thought so often about this. The little house we lived in where one day I walked in and I began to scream and Mama came in the front room and there was a big old snake that long, that big around, crawling across the front floor for the living room floor of our house. You know what God was doing? God was preparing me for the divine appointment at Columbia Center one day. God had foreordained good works for me to do. And God had foreordained there'd be a little lady out there in Columbia Center and a little boy, and they're living in poverty. And so God said, "I got to get you ready, son." When my daddy walked over my body when I was begging him to stay and said, "Wouldn't you rather have me than a bottle of whiskey?" And my daddy stepped over my body and left and cursed me and cursed my mother and left our house. I didn't know it then, but God was preparing me for good works in Hammond, Indiana. And that appointment, that morning, or that afternoon, in Columbia Center, God was getting me ready to meet that little lady, a divine appointment. God gave her the need. God gave me the answer. God gave her the void. God gave me the fulfillment of that void. And I went back to the little shack we used to live in. And the nights we had nothing to eat, and the days my mother went out and washed and cleaned a house or took a lawnmower and mowed somebody's yard to make a quarter one day so she could put food on the table. And I often say, thank God for it. God was getting me ready. Listen, folks, and I'm through. Do you know why there's a bus ministry at First Baptist Church of Hammond? Because one day I risked my neck in this church. And I said to people that said they wouldn't have the bus ministry, I said, "Yes, you will. Yes, you will." Because God has been preparing me all these years for every little snotty-nosed brat that gets on a bus. And God prepared me for years for every little kid whose daddy left him and he didn't know hardly where his daddy was. God was getting me ready. He saved me as a little poor boy. And he saved me. I was his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. But God didn't want me to have stuff to give. Nobody needed it. So God not only went before and got me ready, but God went before and got people, gave people needs. And God said, "I've got an appointment for you someday." And by the mercy and will of God, my path crosses the path of those who need what little I have. It may be a warm handshake is what they need, and God has prepared me with a warm handshake. It may be a warm smile is what they need, and God has prepared me with a friendly smile. It may be a dollar or two or five or ten or a hundred is what they need, and God has given me maybe enough to fill that need. But while we live, get up in the morning and say, "God, what appointments do you have for me?" And I walk in the will of God, asking God to help me to follow His Spirit and yielding myself to His Spirit. And then as I cross the path of those who have need, I have the awareness and the assurance that God prepared them for me and me for them. Our Heavenly Father,